Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
The following is an encore presentation of Heroes of the North State. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the show. You are listening to Heroes of the North State, and I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing. We have a great show this evening. If you are just tuning in, you are in for a treat. We have Youth Options Shasta is joining us, and they are going to share with us all the different programs that are really truly making a difference in our community. Here joining us live in the studio this evening is Jennifer Richards, the Executive Director. Welcome.
Thank you. Jennifer Coulter.
Sorry. That's okay. Right. Jennifer Coulter.
Yeah.
So, disclaimer, I met her when she was Richards.
Yes.
And then also with us, we have Jazz Shaw, and she is the Fire Prevention Specialist. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. So, this evening, why don't we talk about just the program overview. We don't have to go into each and every program just yet, but just to let our listeners know what we're going to be talking about, and then let's come back and talk about your roles.
Great. Thank you, Michelle.
Go for it, Jennifer.
So just a quick history. You know, Youth Violence Prevention Council was established in 1996, so it's been around for a long time. And it has evolved over the years from more of a gang task force into really programs that are helping kids turn their lives around. So it's leadership development, restorative justice, and really giving kids a chance to turn their lives around.
Okay, so then in that, what age would you start? What do you say? What is the core audience for Youth Options Shasta?
Typically, our youth are between the ages of 12 and 18.
Okay.
So there are some programs that Jazz will talk about later that actually go younger.
Okay. Okay. And then, Jazz, so your role at Youth Options Shasta, tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Currently, I am overseeing the Youth Fire Prevention Intervention Program, which is in partnership with the Shasta Arson Task Force. We have members from all the different fire agencies and several law enforcement agencies as well who sit on the arson task force and investigate arson crime. And so they partner with us to help provide services for youth who have had fire setting incidents within Shasta County.
Okay, so that is a large responsibility for both of you.
Yes.
So then with that, okay, so we have our young people who just being a young person in general is hard enough. And then you have all the outside influences and just learning as you grow. I assume some must just come to your program because they just simply made mistakes and they're trying to learn. And maybe others are trying to you're trying to prevent it. Of course, it's in the name.
I think that most of them come because they have to.
Okay, and that's what I'm trying to get to.
We turn it around and make it something that they enjoy doing. And just to mention, so Youth Violence Prevention rebranded to Youth Options Shasta.
Yes.
We
yeah,
wanted to soften the name, and yeah. People were referring to us as Youth Violence, and we're like, that's not working. So Jen spearheaded with another agency to come up with some rebranding.
Yep. And actually, that company was My Umbrella Marketing.
Okay,
happy to do so.
Together,
yes.
One brain.
Yes.
We can get the history down here.
Yes.
Yes, so great, yeah.
Okay, and then from that, and we can touch on this now, but we can see how they kind of collate together. So you also wear another hat in the community. What is that?
Sure. So I'm very part-time with Youth Options overseeing the Youth Fire Prevention Program, but I'm full-time with CAL FIRE, Shasta Trinity Unit. My role there is in fire prevention, and I'm also the unit's information officer.
Okay, so you're seeing it from both sides.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so then what are the programs, just the titles, what are the titles of the programs that you offer through Youth Options Shasta?
Right. Our cornerstone program is the Youth Peer Court.
Okay.
So Youth Peer Court, the Youth Fire Prevention and Intervention Program, we also provide different programmings, classes like aggression replacement training, substance use, education and prevention, tobacco cessation, so a lot of programming. And then our summer camp, which is the Chassis Leadership Camp. That's an annual camp in partnership with local law enforcement.
Okay. So then here you ladies are. You've grown and lived in our communities. How did you come about being part of this program? Evolved into or...
Right. Well, I, you know, when I started in 2010, I came on as the peer court coordinator. So I thought it was just going to be this temporary position. And all of a sudden you see, the power of the peer support and peer led restorative justice.
Okay.
And you see what an impact that makes. So what makes our program special is as kids get referred because they have to, because maybe they committed a crime, theft, vandalism, fights, anything like that. We have that other aspect where we're recruiting high school, middle school and high school youth that act as peer mentors, peer advocates. They serve as jurors and really have those leadership roles to give their peers a hand up.
Okay. So... That is actually pretty remarkable. When I think about just the peer court aspect of the programs where it's daunting to go before someone who is maybe my age, and I'm not going to say what that is, but, you know, I'm a grandma. So, but then that's authority telling you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have your peer, I would think you might come at it from a different perspective.
It is, because, you know, kids know when others are telling the truth. And when they're being honest and real. And a lot of times, as an adult, we're like, oh, we think this kid needs this and this.
Mm-hmm.
And their peer advocates or something, they'll come up with something totally different that really matches and speaks to that individual.
So let's break that down just a little bit. I was going to do that a little later in the show, but this is just a natural progression. Just dive right in. So with peer court, because I know what it is because I've had family members who have been part of it, and also working with the two of you. But tell our audience, like, really what, like, peer court is, like, in a nutshell. I know you just gave an example, but, you know, it's really bigger than that, I would imagine.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about, you want me to do it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Jen was sharing that she was the peer court coordinator in those early years, 2010. Did you get it for 2 years? Because then I ended up getting hired to be the peer court coordinator, and she stepped into a new role. And so I oversaw that program for about 10 years before went to Cal Fire. And so when I was overseeing the program, so it still is where we're getting referrals from juvenile probation and other agencies if there's a crime that's committed. So our fire program, we will receive direct referrals from fire agencies for the younger kids. But most of our cases are referred in a partnership with juvenile probation. It's their, what they call their diversion caseload, and they don't want to mix the youth that have low level crimes in their juvenile justice system because it can expose them to being stuck into the juvenile justice system. So they want to give them opportunity to turn their life around. And so that's where Youth Options comes in along with peer court. And so they make a referral to us, and then we have our case managers that do intake with each family. And that starts our model is we do a case management model. It's like a wraparound program where we're providing services for the entire family as needed. So each case is a case by case, whether or not what type of crime it is. Mm-hmm. When they come in, they'll determine why they're there at an intake process in their assessment.
Kind of how they led to that crime.
Yeah, what's going on in their life? What's going on in their family life? Do they have support? What was the crime? What led to the crime? And so we really get to meet with the families and talk about what's really truly happening, right? And so our philosophy is every kid, you know, they're all good kids. Mm-hmm. Good kids make bad choices.
Yeah.
And that's what we just have conversation about it. They're not going to get in more trouble. It's their decision if they want to be in the program. It's not mandatory, and it's a voluntary program, meaning they get referred to us, we meet with them, they can participate, but if they're successful in the program, then they won't have a record.
Okay.
So that's the caveat. So, but if they come in and they're like, no, I didn't do that, I'm not doing this, then we're not going to take that case.
Then they're going to go through the normal juvenile.
Sure, they can either the case would get returned back to juvenile probation, and then they would decide how they're going to handle that. on it, during, you know, per their policy. But for us, yeah, we don't turn kids away. And so, you know, when we sit down with them, it's a different, you know, they come in and it's not the greatest feeling. They don't know what to expect. The family doesn't, but how we take care of our families is a partnership. And so they really open up and become more willing to do what they need to do. So we're really successful at building relationships, and that's our true core of our program is that building relationships.
And addressing the root causes.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
That's where it goes. And there's a lot of focus on substance use prevention, everything. And we find that the kids that we're working with, they tend to be anxious and angry.
Yeah.
And what comes first? You know, sometimes they're using substances to help with the angst that's going on in this world and in schools, and it's a different world for them. And being able to help address what comes first and make sure they have the services that they need.
I can only imagine that if you're a family, maybe sometimes you don't even know what the root is until you get in there and start talking to your team. And some parents might even be surprised, I would imagine. Like, oh, I didn't know that they felt like this, and that's why this they're acting out in this manner or what have you.
Yeah. This work really is important. It's definitely, you know, in the case management realm, you know, being able to understand the different behaviors that are coming at us from parents because they handle it in different ways as well. And then also what's really going on with the youth and being able to be objective and looking at their situation and finding what's going to be the best fit for them. During that intake, they get signed up for peer court. So ultimately, the youth is going to make the decision or propose to the judge, and then if the judge agrees with what the youth jurors decide during that court process, which they usually agree, then it's the youth that are deciding what's best for them. And, of course, we oversee it, too. You know, it's not like a bunch of kids making decisions, like, willy-nilly. I mean, we really... The program has developed so much since I've left with the new court coordinator and Jen being the director now. It's just really, really turned into more of a peer advocate role, which we weren't using that model yet. So you want to share what that is? Because that's really cool. It's really evolved. And it's very interesting.
Yeah, because over the years we've had two different models of the peer court, which is just the jurors asking, and then we also used to do a defense and a prosecution role.
Yes, that's right.
Right. Back in the day. Well, now by having the peer advocate, they're the ones that will meet with a student ahead of time, and they're trying to really find out, you know, what's going on in your life also.
Well, because the peer will open up to a peer usually, not always.
Absolutely, and they have different questioning tactics. So when they come and do their opening statements, they can help direct the jury, hey, when you're asking questions, you know, delve deeper into this area where this kid is volunteering or his interest in art or their career path or their family. So to really focus on their strengths.
Okay. So you're getting the referrals, just to kind of make sure I understand, and they're coming to you. Their first step is to meet with an adult, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's one of our case managers.
Case managers. Mm-hmm. And then the case manager then decides if that person is a candidate for peer court.
Mm-hmm, right.
And you're saying majority of them just are because they know how to refer to you, I'm sure, by this point.
If the they're not, they can do a non-peer court, just what we call case management only, where they just work directly with the case manager and they get assigned things that way. Or they go to peer court.
Okay. And when they get to peer court... I'm sure you were clear, but maybe I just didn't understand. So in the past, you were saying you did the defense and the... So now you have... The judge is an adult, or a true judge.
An adult, volunteer, that volunteers their time.
Mm-hmm. You have an advocate. You have the jury, which is a jury of their peers. So they're all same age group when you say that? Or what's
right.
The next?
Really, eighth to high school.
Okay.
And then a lot of times that jury is also made up of youth that have come through, had been a respondent, and then a lot of times they'll get assigned to actually come back and sit on the jury for somebody else. Now they get to experience what it feels like in on both sides.
Have you ever had, program's been around long enough, do you know, have you ever had students that have graduated and went on to higher education maybe want to go into that field?
Oh, absolutely. We have quite a few of them.
That's incredible.
I know. Yeah. I just met somebody the other day who works for the department that went through Pure Court when she was in high school. And I'm like, gosh, I wish I could have, like, do a story with you. But, you know, we're not going to, not for our department, but it was good for us for, you know, I was just like, she was so proud, but people, they go on and they make their lives, and there's thousands of families. I mean, just in the time I was there, so throughout, you know, since the program has started, thousands and thousands of families have come through the program and gone on to become leaders and become members of society, and that didn't go into juvenile justice and stay in that realm. So
That's a huge difference.
And, you know, even the volunteers that come through, right? Those are powerful stories, because some of them have the choice of making different paths. But by getting involved, we have a number of local attorneys here and lots of attorneys that I know that have come through Pure Court.
And went to law school.
And now they're making a difference and really helping others. And it's very exciting to see that.
Yeah. That is exciting. Okay, so when we come back, I want to talk about, when we come back, we'll have more time. Thank you. You're watching Heroes, or listening to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade, and we'll be right back.
I'm Jack Potter Jr., Tribal Chairman for Redding Rancheria. We've proudly partnered with the Redding Rodeo Association for Native American Appreciation Night. As you know, our roots and hearts are here in this community and are proud of this partnership. From grants to help local businesses and government, to making health care available to so many, to our own community events like the Stillwater Powwow that happens right here on this same land, Redding Rancheria is proud to play our part.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Redding and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Looking for fun ways to explore your town? You've got to step into the Cascade Curation Store, the coolest, cleanest little thrift store and art galleria in Shasta County. We're talking vintage without the markup, prices that'll make your bank account happy, one-of-a-kind local artwork for your art collectors, and curated thrifty finds you won't discover anywhere else in town. Whether you're hunting for that perfect piece to complete your collection or just browsing for inspiration and want to explore downtown and get free parking, for us, it's not just about vibes or trends. It's about timeless quality, where every visit is a new adventure at Cascade Curations.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
I'm Nathan with the Redding Trail Alliance, and we're here at the Redding Bike Park. We just want to thank the Redding Rancheria for all the help they've given us over the years supporting the many projects we're doing for our community.
Hi, I'm Dan, and this is Donna, and we're with Wings of Angels.
And we'd like to thank the Redding Rancheria for their continued support over the years to our foundation.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
The following is an encore presentation of Heroes of the North State. Enjoy the show.
welcome back to the show. If you are just joining us, we are here tonight with the Youth Options Shasta, Jennifer Coulter, Executive Director, and Jazz Shaw, Fire Prevention Specialist. And we have been talking about Peer Court and what an incredible difference it's making in our community. And in the commercial break, I was asking Jen a couple questions. And one is about with Peer Court, when you're unraveling kind of that family dynamic, the child's dynamic. I was talking about counseling services or referrals. Can you share with me a little bit about that and our listeners?
Well, we do appreciate, we have some amazing therapists throughout our town. So we do refer out in many of those cases. A lot of times we're able to actually also do what we call restorative chat, right? So this is where we're bringing in the parent, the youth, and our case manager, so about three or four people, where they're able to also come to some mutual comprehension, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times there's a lot of dynamics that we're not listening to each other. And being able to come to a place of, you know, like true apologies and being able to have a safe space to discuss what happened and why and what are the things that we can do to put in place for those actions to change.
Yeah.
So we are not therapists.
No.
But sometimes just facilitating even safe spaces to be able to do that, and we're not trying to say it right or wrong.
Exactly. And in this, have you ever found that there's a bond between the peer court advocate and the person that's coming in? You know, do they, because you're sitting there, you're a peer court. I don't know the language, but you're making a friend. When you're being vulnerable and you're opening yourself up, I would imagine you're making a friend. I wonder if there's a pattern of like lifelong friendships or good influences. You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely. And that is the goal, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the goal is we want pro-social peer supports.
Yes.
So this is what we're hoping, is that we're connecting people that maybe are on the same campus or have the same interest or something like that. Because, you know, a lot of times we get in trouble because of who we're hanging out with.
That's true. And if, and if you can, it's hard to break into another group, especially in the high school setting, junior high.
Yeah.
And that's what's really cool about Peer Court, too, especially when they come back to volunteer, because now they're thrust into this place that might be a little uncomfortable in the beginning, but now they're building new relationships and different friend groups. And they're giving back to the community. Mm-hmm. They're not just looking inward at life's all about me. I mean, they're actually looking about how do I help others?
Yeah, the JURT process is really an incredible thing to be able to watch, because it's, you know, it's in court. And then I'm at the new location, do they have a chambers for the jury to be in? Or
No. That part is not quite ideal.
Okay. Yeah. Well, just listening to the jurors deliberating about the case and talking back and forth after the testimony, who, you know, the offender is called a respondent. And so after the respondent's testimony, when they testify on their own behalf, that still happens, correct? Okay. So the jurors deliberate, and then they come up with what's going to be fair and appropriate for the case and for the respondent. And when we have our respondents that are serving on the jury, what I noticed was, you know, it's very interesting. They first would start out being very hard on the respondent, that
more hard
cases that they were sitting on. And then we'd have to remind them, like, hey, remember that you were up there before? So let's, you know, really be mindful of that. And then they're like, oh, yeah. And so then they, once they get the process, because it's a requirement to do three, at least three, then they can continue on if they want to. They would, it just really, you see the light come on for them as they're in a role of leadership. Mm-hmm. They're in a role where their voice matters. They have a voice, and it's being considered in a group of their peers for somebody else, you know. And I like how you said that, Jen, about it, you know, they're seeing that they're giving instead of the world revolving around them. So, it just kind of like shifts the mindset. So it's super powerful to watch that.
Yeah, it's awesome. And then our volunteer judges and attorneys from the district attorney's office, they volunteer their time and come in and help mentor our kids. So here you have these very professional, powerful people in our community just sitting there face to face, talking to these kids, and they're part of it, shoulder to shoulder. And that's
sewing into them. That's really amazing.
And so, go ahead. Oh, I was just thinking, like, you know, if you put yourself in the shoes of a child or youth that is having such trouble, you know, they're the ones I've known and worked with, they don't feel that great about themselves, right? And so they're in a place of feeling not well about their decisions. Maybe they're not really willing to admit it so much. Maybe they're still blaming other people. But at the root of it, nobody wants to make mistakes. Nobody wants to be in trouble. And I believe that with my heart, you know.
I do too.
And so being in that situation and having adults who are respected community members giving you a voice, and the thoughts that would go through my mind if I was there and that was me, it would be, wow, I really do matter. Like, I can do this. I can fit in. I do belong here, you know?
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
then how do you, let's say I've never been in trouble and I'm a youth, how do they get involved? Is it through their campus, their school, or do they call you directly?
Both. So we have an application, a volunteer application on our website, which is at youthoptionshasta.org. Any youth can fill out that application. We also do recruitment efforts on all the school campuses, usually in August and then again in January. Okay. So those notices go out into their bulletins, and then we have we provide pizza and we talk about peer court, and a lot of times the judges will come and talk about how important peer court is.
Yeah.
And that the cases that they're seeing in their courtrooms, they really wished those people had this opportunity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's true. Mm-hmm. Well, I know some young people who were interested, so I was curious how that process was still working.
Yeah. So, I mean, they can come in at any time. They don't have to wait for those recruitment, opportunities. And then on off weeks, we have what we call case conferencing, right? So this is where all of them, all the volunteers are showing up. They're reading the court cases. They're getting some training in adverse childhood experiences, in resiliency, and developmental assets, trauma-informed care. And also we have other speakers that will come in and talking about substance use prevention, financial literacy, you know, so they're getting the education, but they're also getting that in order to
teach it.
To teach it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful. So then you also mentioned something about parent to parent. What did you call that?
Right. So we have a parent discussion group. Okay. So any of the families that are referred, the parents are required to attend one of these sessions, and they're not usually really excited. And just coming in, what's great is we do some of the same activities with them that the youth are getting maybe like in their aggression replacement training, some of those same activities. And then it's great to like pull this. It's like, oh, look at, here's what your kids reported are their triggers. Right.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, parents, here, this is what you just did and your triggers. Oh, it's amazing.
How
similar they are. Mm. Right. And being able to walk through that and to be able to have powerful conversations about the landscapes of substance use now and fentanyl. It's a different world out there than it's ever been before.
It's a true story.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, people used to get to experiment with that, and it's too dangerous.
It's almost that one and done. Almost. I mean, that's a bad thing to say, probably. But
we're excited about really expanding that parent group, the more the peer group, and really bringing in almost like full-day workshops. So we've got a lot of expansion on our horizon that we're excited about.
Wonderful. I can't wait to hear more about that also. So then, why don't we shift? Now let's talk, Jazz, about your fire prevention. So talk a little more in detail about what, just overall.
Sure. So we follow the program is using the same model when appropriate as far as the age of the youth and whether or not they're referred to peer court, but I'll just kind of back up and start from the beginning.
Okay.
So they'll come, I'll get a referral, whether it's from juvenile probation or a direct referral from a fire agency. I will meet with the youth and do an assessment. It's an evidence-based assessment tool to determine if the youth has any risk for future fire setting. This can be used in ages anywhere from 5 to 18. And, yes, I do have kids that are 5 years old. I've actually had somebody that was 2. They weren't – they didn't come to the program, but the family went. So that was good, you know, just to get the information.
Them.
Yes. So I'll do the assessment, determine what their future fire risk is, and that's going to go fall into 3 categories, whether it's some risk, definite risk, or a pathological extreme risk category. And, yes, I also have those kids as well. And so since the inception of the program, it started in 2014, and so I was a full-time case manager there overseeing peer court, and we started to get cases where kids were playing with fire. And so my daughter and I are both burn survivors, and we were in a terrible structure fire. Mm-hmm. I was not expected to make it. That was in 2007. So here I am overseeing the court program. I've had this experience with fire where that almost took my life and the life of my daughter. We survived it, and I thought, wow, this is really a call to action here. I never want another parent to have to go through what I went through myself, let alone being in a separate hospital from their child. And so if there's anything I can do to help reduce the risk of injury or, you know, of the public safety, then I was going to use that story. And so, you know, it's such a beautiful story. It's a beautiful organization. It's the kind of place where the doors fly open through opportunities when we get these families that need help. And so all of a sudden the doors open and I'm connected with the Shasta Arson Task Force. And at a time where there was a lot of cases of fire setting that were going unresolved, and the each agency was handling all their youth fire setting cases separately, and there was no real way to keep track of the families and to provide services and to make sure they got education. And so we partnershiped with the Arson Task Force and with Reading Fire Department. And one of their captains at the time, Pat O'Connor, him and I really put our heads together and developed this program. It's now the nationally recognized youth fire prevention program. And we're still going strong. And we were probably averaging about 35 youth every year, ages 5 to 18. And so, you know, we do that intake. I determine what their future fire risk is. And based on the results of that assessment tool, I'll know what they need. If they're going to need a referral to get some type of therapy. If they're going to take other classes that are offered at Youth Options, or whether or not they're going to go to peer court. And then all the kids that are referred do go to our Youth Fire Prevention Fire Academy, and we host that in November every year. And those classes are broken down into age-appropriate classes with age-appropriate curriculum. So we have 5 to 9-year-olds that are in one, 10 to 13 in another, 14 to 18.
Okay.
And then the parents have their own class as well. So, again, you know, they come in like, what did I do? Why am I going to this? This is not cool.
The siblings.
Yeah. Oh, and also we request the siblings, 5 to 18. They also cannot be very happy to have to go to that as well. But that's the prevention. And then they have the intervention for the fire setter. So, our hope is that the families teach what they learn to other students if they're ever around that situation again.
Yeah.
And so the classes are really amazing. The fire investigators that are investigating those kids or the cases and that they make the referrals to us, they're teaching the classes.
Okay.
So it's full circle for them too. And so they've had this negative contact with a youth regarding a fire setting incident. Now they're in the class together and they're teaching, and these instructors are telling them that they matter and that they're important.
So I hear our cue.
Yeah.
We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, I've got a couple of more questions.
Okay.
Jazz will come right back to you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everyone. We will be right back.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
It was on the streets of Pinar del Rio. You remember the smell of her hair. You thought, white gardenias. You shared dinner, then coffee. Then came that beautiful aroma of the cigar. You forgot her name, but not the cigar. La Roma de Cuba, mi amor. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Good morning, Redding. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hey, Redding. Save big on Black Bear Diner's new basket bundles. Get your paws on a choice of sandwich, side, and drink for only $11. A great meal at a great price. Basket bundles, now available at Black Bear Diner. Be sure to stop by for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Black Bear Diner just added 4 brand new and 4 returning classics to the menu. Black Bear Diner, 2205 Hilltop Drive. Get big value and so many choices at Black Bear Diner.
Black Bear Diner.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing. If you're just tuning in, we're here with Jennifer Coulter, Executive Director of Youth Options Shasta, and Jazz Shaw from the Fire Prevention Specialist. And we're just talking about everything that they do for fire setter prevention intervention. And I encourage you, if you're just tuning in, to definitely go and look at this episode in the archives here on KCNR under programs, because this is something that can help our entire community. This Youth Option Shasta has so many things that they do to help the youth in our community become just their fullest potential. And so, Jazz, I had a thought, and I don't know how to say this other than just say it. Well, how do you differentiate between the kid that likes to play with matches because he thinks it's just fun lighting the match off, because my brother did that when he was 5. He caught our backyard on fire.
Sure.
And came walking in the house saying, Mom, I need a glass of water.
Right.
It was nothing other than just, yeah,
probably
exactly.
More than a glass of water.
Yeah, he burned the hole. I'm laughing about it now, but it wasn't funny then.
Sure.
And so then how do you differentiate between the two of them? The difference?
Lots of experience. It's just having, there's a lot of intuition that goes into working with each family. And but the assessment tool is very helpful. But even with that tool that we utilize, it says on there that the assessor can override the mm-hmm. score of the test based on their own experience of what they're seeing. And so
okay.
I think after years of working with families, a lot of what's going on in their life, who, you know, you're looking at their support system. What is the condition of their support system? What is their family history? How are they living? How they're doing in school? And this goes for the Peer Court program too, any of these programs. I mean, you're going to get a snapshot of what's really going on based on the whole picture of the whole family unit. And I can tell by talking to the kids about what happened. Walk me through the fire. Walk me through how did you do that? How did you make the fire? How did you put the fire to the thing that made the fire happen? You know, talking to them, building that relationship with them based on eye contact, how they respond. It's just a real natural state of a conversation and that building that relationship. And I have had the kids that I've been like, wow, like this is super scary. This is very concerning. And I'm not sure what the future holds. There's been a few. And I know, of course, make the referrals to mental health services and keep tabs with them as best as possible to see how they're doing. And but for the most part, it's very successful. And I would say that I would say probably 90% of our kids is just curiosity. It's just
playing with the mat.
Exactly.
Fireworks.
They think they're being safe. You know, they'll even have water or they'll make a fire ring or, you know, they just don't understand how easy it is and how it's just one spark that can cause an entire wildfire. And these kids have done, they've played with fire during the car fire and they've been evacuated from fires. They've been affected by major wildland fires in our area and they're just not connecting the dots. They're just not. It doesn't mean that they are, it's anything to be concerned about. The families are like, how could you do that? And I tell them they're just not connecting that. They're just, I've been doing this for so many years that they just don't put those things together. By the time they're finished with the program, they do, you know, definitely. So,
So then out of that, do you ever, do children move into going into being firefighters?
Sure.
It seems like it would be like they have a fascination with fire. Let's put them on the good side of it.
Mine did.
Exactly. That's kind of a fire service joke. Funny, not funny, but true.
Well, I just think if you have that natural
curiosity or you're not afraid of it.
Exactly. It's like, oh, you were meant to do this, not anybody.
Sure.
So.
And again, it's mostly curiosity and it's experimentation. And when we're doing the assessment, we're determining there's five typologies of fire setting and we want to know, was it, you know, revenge related? Was it a crime concealment? Was it just curiosity? Yeah. Was it, you know, excitement? Or was it a cry for help? And so, you know, there's that 5% where there is a cry for help and there's ways that to tell. Like I did have a youth that she had burned her mattress and they teach this in the class. You're looking at what they burned as well. It's like, as a way of the psychology behind it. So it's pretty fascinating when you get into these why of what they're doing. But she burned her mattress and there was some, there was some abuse there. Like, and then, or if kids burn their school books, that can be a cry for help. I'm getting bullied at school. But I would say that my fire setting caseload was the caseload that had the most trauma for me. Because overseeing peer court and it's entirely, I'm seeing crimes, kids that are committing crimes of all different natures. But that fire setting one probably had the most concerning where there was neglect and abuse in the family. So, it's a pretty, but once we address the fire, the trauma, the fire setting stops.
Yeah.
And once we do the education for the just curious kids, they know better,
Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Jazz, one of the most powerful parts of that program, to me is when I get to sit in the parent group.
Yeah.
And the youth come in and read their apology letters. Yeah. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. Okay. So this year, every year we'll take, because part of in the classroom, they have to do curriculum. It's two nights. They're two consecutive Thursdays. So the first night, it's, you know, what happened, introductions. They get a book of homework to go that they got to take with them home, and then they bring it back completed on the next Thursday.
Okay.
And so in that, they're tasked with doing an apology letter. And so we'll pick a couple of really good apology letters and have those kids go into the parent group and read them to the parents. And so this year we had a young man who he was very reserved throughout the intake process. And, you know, we know that that doesn't really mean that they're not taking it seriously or they're, it may come across like they're having an attitude, but they're not. They're just scared or they're you know, there's something else happening. So, but he was really reserved through the whole process and all the way up into class. And he comes back on that second Thursday and he doesn't have his letter written. And so we sat down, you know, when kids don't have their homework done, we'll set somebody down with them and get that done and do a one-on-one with them. And so he wrote out this amazing apology letter. And if for any parent, it would just break your heart because of the things that he said in that letter. And so we take him in and to read it to the parent group, and he couldn't do it. All of a sudden, he broke down in tears. He got into one sentence, and he couldn't. He was just so upset. So here he's having that breakthrough, right, where he's releasing this situation through this apology letter in front of people. So I take it from him. I said, I'm going to read it for you. And so I'm reading it, and he's just saying to his parents, you know, I'm sorry that I did this. I'm sorry I scared you. I'm sorry that you, the neighbor might not like us. I'm sorry that everybody on Facebook was talking so badly about us. I'm sorry that you thought I was going to die. I'm sorry that you thought that we're going to be on probation. You know, like it was just this amazing, thorough letter. And it just, his dad jumps up and they start hugging and they're crying together. And the whole class is crying. We're all crying.
Oh my gosh.
And then that's really restorative justice. Because
That's it right there.
Yeah, where you're making amends, right, to the community, to his peers, to his parents. And it was just so beautiful. And I'll never forget that one. And they're always good.
They're always,
But, yeah, this is, you know, this is, that was good. And I see his dad out in the community and he's doing really good.
So, with all of those, you have workshops. How do they all kind of intertwine? So, does it make sense how I'm just trying to say that?
So, like, during that intake process is when we're deciding, you know, okay, we know, okay, this he has this other issue or she has anger issues. They're going to go to ART, or they're going to go to different classes. So, whatever their needs are.
Okay.
Yeah, so based on the case and other needs.
Okay. So then out of the two, so those are your two major programs, I'm correct?
Yes.
And out of those, what would you say is the next one that you would want to share with our group? Are we? Do you want to talk about our youth leadership camps that are, that I'm assuming?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Shasta Youth Leadership Camp is an annual camp that's held in July of each year. About 145 middle school students and 45-ish high school and college age counselors go for a week. We're at Simpson College, Simpson University now.
Oh, fantastic.
The camp used to be out at West Camp.
Yeah, and I was wondering where you maybe moved to.
Right. You know, we missed that whole camping situation, and, you know, it was
the
very
cabin.
Cool out there.
Yeah.
But it's really nice for them to be in the dorms. They're air-conditioned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Showers. It is great.
Yeah.
And it's local because we have a lot of local law enforcement that they all give of their time quite a bit for demonstrations, for teaching, for staff. Jazz is arranging for hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say that,
Firehawk. And we have an engine that sprays water for the kids, too. So
tell me, what is the camp really all about, though? What's the core purpose of it?
The core purpose is really substance use prevention.
Okay.
So, and then leadership. Because we know that the reason why kids experiment and use things is because of maybe not connection.
Okay.
So
these
how do
are
we
kids
build
that are coming out that have been through your programs that maybe have had
no, these are actually from middle school. This is all kids in our community.
Oh, okay.
So it's
open
really
to everyone.
Yes, open to everyone. It's really a prevention.
Okay.
And leadership. So, and a lot of these kids that started out as campers, they stay as campers until they're through eighth grade. They have to take ninth grade off and then come back as counselors.
So I want to talk more about that when we come back. We only have one more break, ladies, so we'll have to gather up everything we want to share. We'll be right back.
Linda
spot. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
We used, and then it's just, it's turned into Shasta Youth Leadership Camp. And so it is so like the campers that are, they go in, you know, from all the different schools and they're camping. But then we have our camp counselors. So those are students that can be from 10th grade to age 21.
Okay.
And they, they're getting a lot of leadership training as well as to how to be great camp leaders. And then we'll have the two counselors. I believe that there's two of them. There's a male and a female. They might have expanded to have four now, but.
You can homeschool, doesn't matter.
Correct.
You can go online and fill out an application to get to go.
Yeah, and the Silk Camp has a Facebook page as well, so but definitely go through our website, the Youth Option Shasta. When the applications open up, they can go there and get an application and get those turned in because there's only so many spots and they do fill up. So definitely do that. And they do a really good job of advertising when that opens up.
Yeah. And I imagine you have students that maybe want to come back year after year or is it a one time only?
No, they can come back and they can come back every year if they want to. And they can be campers until they age out, which that's the middle school campers. And then they can become the counselors. It starts at 10th grade to get age 21.
Yeah. And kids, it must be a lot of fun because kids they're going to want to go if it's fun.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So you're learning how to be a leader in a really fun, energetic environment.
Yes, very energetic. They sing, they do competitions, do little cheers, and they compete against each other for who gets to go to breakfast first. And it's really fun. You know, check out our website, youthoptions.org, call our office. We always are looking for volunteers and funding too. We're a grant funded organization. And so funding is that's how we're 501c3. So we need funding and, we do the best we can, but we're always looking for other donations. There's a donate button on the website. And so you need to come, just check out our website, come donate, spend time, see what we do.
Yeah, because there's so much more than we have time to talk about, I'm sure. Jennifer, thank you for being here today. We really appreciate it. This last little segment went by much faster than I had anticipated. And thank you, Jazz, for being here. We've, you know, I think what's really cool about
the news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR.